League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We are here.
Yes.
We've been outside.
Yes, yes.
We are outside.
You have been outside. I'm headed outside.
You're headed outside. Yeah. I've literally been outside.
Yeah.
Multiple days.
Can we give props where props are due right now, especially in Olympic season?
You're going to let me do that?
Can we do
that?
You're
going to give me that? I'm going to shout out my daughter who brings home All-American recognition in the triple jump from the AAU Junior Olympics.
Yeah.
We have sound effects. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the sport I love, so I just, it's beautiful.
Yo, that's amazing. All-American means she's one of the top eight best at her position in track or event,
in
I
her
should
event.
Say.
Mm-hmm. In her track. Age group.
In her age group.
Mm-hmm.
She's 17?
She'll 18, be 17. 13. She's in the 17, 8. She's in the group, the age group where they call the men and women now.
Mm.
It's like up the 10 and under, and then the 11, 12, all up to 15, 16 is girls and boys. Now it's men and women.
You know, sometimes when you're in the midst of these accomplishments, it may not feel like a big deal. Like you're in the paper every week. You're getting medals at all these different events. Does she realize the significance of being an All-American?
She does because she cares, but I think it hasn't really sunk in.
Yeah.
But she's been at that stage. She's been competing at an elite level. This is probably the third year.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just, I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to get there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not your day.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago at this meet, she ran in a hurdle race and she hit the first hurdle, face planted.
Mm.
Messed up the rest of her time there. But you know, you get better at it.
Yeah. My hope is that she'll be able to always call on this for inspiration, like this moment of being an All-American in the triple jump, right? That's the event.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those events where it's all about the timing and the flow.
Everything almost has to work perfectly.
Yeah. Well, big shouts to her.
Yeah,
big
it was cool. It's cool.
Are you watching the Olympics much?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your take so far on what you've seen?
So it's always exciting. So of course, I'm all in for track and field, but I love sports in general.
Yeah.
But it's the stories for me.
Yeah.
It is the best reality television. It's real.
Yeah.
It's really real. This is not scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories behind some of the athletes,
give me one. There's one that's pulling at your heartstrings right now.
I mean, the easy one that most people know about is the Sha'Carri Richardson story.
Mm.
You know, she tested positive for a banned substance.
Marijuana.
It's still banned.
But it was weed.
It was weak, but
it was weed and it was legal in
America. Oh, you said it was weed. I thought you said it was weak.
It was just weed.
Yeah, I get it. The rules are the rules, though.
Got you.
And at the end of the day, she had to overcome a lot to get back here.
Yeah.
And yeah, by the time this drops, we will know the outcome, but she didn't get the gold.
Okay.
Yeah. But shout out to the winner from St. Lucia. St. Lucia has never won a medal in the Olympics and the first in any event, in any sport.
Wow.
And the first one that the country gets is a gold medal.
That's amazing.
So that's a story too for her.
Yeah.
Not just Sha'Carri getting there. Simone Biles and what she's done.
Oh, she's incredible.
There's a swimmer who pursued working with Michael Phelps' coach. And he just came in and he's from France, but he coached, I forgot what college they went to, with Michael Phelps' coach. And he's just out there killing it at home in front of a home crowd.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funniest story from the Olympics so far to me is the Turkish.
I know where you were going. Yes.
The Turkish. What do they call those? The sharpshooters?
Yes.
Who goes out there in regular clothes.
Regular clothes.
With no equipment.
Put his hand in his pocket.
Yeah. And is wrecking shop.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I don't know if this
That's
is true.
That's cool, though.
But like he said, he started shooting out of anger and frustration with life. Like he's like, yo, I need to do something to, as a release.
Wow.
And he started shooting at stuff. And he was nice with it.
The gun laws and policies in Turkey.
Yeah, they said he's like a mechanic and like was going through a divorce. Like, I'm glad he didn't kill anyone.
I'm saying.
Yeah. But sometimes you get that mad.
That's where your greatness comes out. I didn't have that story. I knew the outcome, but I didn't know the story yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a fun time.
Yeah. So it's a great, like you said, it's the ultimate in reality TV. So many storylines. I love it. So.
There's some other storylines out there, some other stuff going on.
Speaking of which.
Right here at home.
Right now, it's all eyes on Jerome.
Romy Rome.
Yeah. Romy Rome is in the house.
Watch him out.
Watch him out.
I got it this time.
Yes.
No fun sponging.
Yes. Watch your mouth. So it reminds me a little bit of the album All Eyes on Me. With Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just remind y'all a little Tupac history for a moment. So the year was 1995, and Tupac was in jail for a crime he allegedly, according to him, didn't commit.
Mm-hmm.
It was an assault. And when he got out, he was so broke, he couldn't even afford bail. He got famously bailed out by Suge Knight. He gave him a big advance and said, I need you to do 3 records for me. His first record was a double album, All Eyes on Me.
I did not know this history.
Yes. And in that, he's talking about all the people that are looking at him, women trying to set him up, the feds watching, the music industry trying to figure out what he's got up his sleeve next.
Yeah.
And then he dropped All Eyes on Me. And it went on to be like one of the greatest rap albums in history. It's Diamond is what it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Is that above platinum?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, that would be considered above platinum.
Did you just make up diamond?
No, it went diamond.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, no, it went diamond.
I didn't know if that was real.
I will tell you, I never really got into Pac's music until later because being from the East Coast, I was really all East Coast, all Biggie. And I felt like you had to choose. But afterwards, like, I've gotten into his music and, like, he's brilliant. Like,
yeah.
He was great.
Mm-hmm.
This album is angry, by the way. Like, this is not like, you know, smooth R&B. Like, he's really, he's upset on this album. He's going hard. Either way, so All Eyes are on Jerome. And the reason we say that is that this week, the Federal Reserve had a meeting. And
yes,
when we say this week, we really mean last week. We're taping a little bit in advance.
It might even be 2 weeks from now.
It may be, depending on when you're listening to it. But what happened this week is that the Fed had to make a decision, and they didn't rock the boat. Like, everyone expected them to kind of stay the course and not raise or cut interest rates. And the issue is that the Fed meeting was on Wednesday. And they said on Wednesday, hey, we're going to watch the data. We're going to see how these numbers go. And then we'll make our decision later, maybe in September. Well, literally not even 24 hours later, the data started to come out that was negative.
Yep.
That if the Fed had seen this data prior, they might have been singing a different tune.
Right.
And so we're going to talk a little bit this week about the Fed, our boy Romy Rome, and the fact that all eyes are on him right now.
They are.
And we've been talking so much about the Fed. We should talk about what the Fed is. Like, what is the Fed?
Yeah, we got to educate the people a little bit. So what is the Fed? The Federal Reserve, we call it the Fed, is the central bank of the United States, and they're responsible for managing the country's monetary policy.
And monetary policy, I would say, when you think about monetary policy, think about the money supply. Think about interest rates. Fiscal policy means taxes. Fiscal policy is what the president and Congress have control over.
That's right.
Right? Like right now we're in a position where fiscal policy actually has its foot on the gas. Like we've got tax cuts that Trump enacted that Biden has not yet canceled out, but he intends to if, I guess under Kamala, if Kamala is elected, the intention is that those fiscal tax cuts would be allowed to expire.
Right.
Right. That's fiscal. Mm-hmm. But Romy Rome, he's in charge of monetary policy. Mainly that's interest rates and the money supply.
Mm-hmm.
And Romy Rome he's not black. I know we joke, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, there are.
Like the Martin character.
Yes, there are black names.
Yeah.
Or names that we in the community associate with us.
Yes.
And Jerome is one of them.
That's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so we
us.
Thought.
Yeah.
Jerome, Gerard.
Yeah.
Andre.
Tyrone.
Tyrone for daggone yeah. sure.
Yeah. I think Jerome might be a French name, maybe.
Jerome.
But like, it's just funny. Like, even Powell sounds like a black name. Like, that even sounds like one of our names.
And all of these names are probably British in, yeah, you know, or English in nature. But somehow or yeah. another, we like the last name Jackson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially Johnson. If you couple it with
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Certain names. Just...
Tyrone Jackson is a brother.
Yes,
Jerome Jackson.
Yeah,
a brother.
I went to high school with Tyrone Jackson, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Y'all call him TJ?
We called him Monster.
I don't know him. Must have been after my time.
So Jerome's job as the chairman of the Federal Reserve is really to orchestrate the monetary policy of the United States. There are branches. He does have a whole system of Fed governors. There's 12 regional Federal Reserve banks across the country. They're mm-hmm. in places like St. Louis and Atlanta, and they all get data regionally from their areas.
Right.
And then they come together about 10 times a year to talk about it.
The infamous Fed meetings.
And that was what happened mm-hmm. recently. Fed meeting. And then they come out and they talk about it. Like, hey, we all got together. We, you know, it's a democracy yeah. process, really. Like, they mm-hmm. get a chance to all vote and have opinions. And then the mouthpiece of it all is Jerome.
Right. And so it makes me think about what we talked about recently around prediction markets. And we're not yeah. talking specifically about prediction markets, but it's like leading up to the date of the Fed meeting. Everyone is opining on what they think the Fed is going to do. Mm-hmm. Then there's the day of the meeting, and then there's the day after. And then we start looking ahead to the next one. It's like everyone's trying to figure out
yeah.
if they're right or wrong, what they want to happen versus what they really think will happen.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a nice little tie-in to something
is.
We've talked about.
No, you're right. I can go back on Fed chairman all the way back to the 70s. I'm going to put myself on the spot for a second.
Really?
So we had Jerome Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, we had Janet Yellen. And stop me if I'm wrong. Prior to Yellen, we had Ben Bernanke.
Mm.
Prior to Bernanke, we had Alan Greenspan.
I don't know about the order, but I'm with you.
And prior mm-hmm. to Alan Greenspan, we had Paul Volcker. And that's all from the dome.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. You got him.
Did I do it?
Yeah, you did it.
And what's interesting
I'm fuzzy on the order, but yeah, have the right people.
Greenspan was it for a long time.
He was.
This is a presidential appointment, but it's also supposed to not be political, and it really hasn't been political.
Mm-hmm.
So Powell happened to have been appointed by Trump, but he's in no way like a Trump guy.
Right.
In fact, he got appointed by Trump, and then Trump got mad because he wouldn't cut interest rates to make him look good like how he made Obama look good.
Trump got mad?
Exactly. So their job is really, again, it's to watch the economy. It's to make sure that things are moving appropriately, not too fast, not too slow. Think about the Fed and central bankers across the world as the traffic cops of the economy. And their job is just to keep things moving smoothly, and they do it by controlling money in the system. Their main tool is interest rates.
Right.
And if things are going too fast, they slow things down by raising interest rates. One example of things going too fast is inflation. Inflation is because people are buying, they've got so much money, they're buying things at such an aggressive pace that prices start to rise, right? So that's when the Fed starts to cut.
Yep.
And then if things go too slow, you get a recession.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they start to cut interest rates.
Yeah. So to a novice or a layperson, it sounds like that one individual has a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of that is, you know, again, we can't get away from the fact that we're in a historic presidential election yeah. season.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is everyone's going to tout what they've done, what they're going to do, what they tried to do, but the other side didn't let them do it. Yeah. And in reality, the president is not really controlling
yeah.
this stuff.
Absolutely. And that's why we had a period where fiscal policy was stepping on the gas, right?
Yep.
Tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerome Powell was raising interest rates, which is to slow down the economy.
Right.
Right. And so these things aren't often in sync either.
Right. Yep.
So what are the Fed's goals? So they've got three goals. And this is like a really like challenging job. given what their tools are. We'll get to what their tools are. But they've got three jobs. Number one is to maximize employment.
And black jobs? I'm sure. Sorry. I had to go there.
Listen, I mean, Jerome sounds like a black job for sure. It does sound like a black job. But like, this is the type of job that they would assign to a black person because it's hard. It's hard to do.
We get all the hard stuff.
That's a joke. But number one job of the Fed, maximize employment. That is to make sure that the unemployment rate stays between 4 and 5%. And really, it used to be 5% was really their number.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started going so meaningfully below 5, they were like, 4 is good too.
We're going to move the bar a little bit.
And we've been under 4 yes. for a long time. We're starting mm-hmm. to creep up above 4. Their second goal is to stabilize prices. And they do that by watching inflation. And their goal for inflation is 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they want to be mindful of long-term interest rates and make sure that those rates are moderate, not too high, not too low. So they've got like three jobs all at once, right? Like I picture like the waiter carrying like things in both hands and he's got something on his head.
Yeah.
A little bit. Right? Yeah. Like that's kind of what it's like.
All at the same time.
But instead of hands, like they've been given some really blunt tools, right? Like I imagine like some of these tools, they remind me of like if I were a heart surgeon, but instead of you giving me a scalpel, you give me a brick. Like, these are blunt instruments. Like, your job is to maintain employment, but you can't hire people.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you can't make incentives, tax incentives for companies in certain sectors to hire.
No, you could just say stuff.
Yeah.
And hope that it works.
That's it. So what are the Fed's tools? They're blunt tools, the bricks they've been given to do those three jobs. Number one is to control the supply of money by setting the bank reserve requirements. And what do we mean by bank reserve requirements?
Literally, it's cash reserves in the bank.
Yeah. So, you know, banks, you know, you deposit money at a bank and then they make loans. Newsflash, they're loaning out money more than what they might have on deposit.
Right.
Right? They're required.
They're loaning out our money too, by the way.
Yeah.
That's something that's not widely known.
That's a fact. That's a fact. I mean, the banks are on promises, right?
Like, yeah. They lend to each other.
Yeah. On promises. It's like, if I say I've got 100K in the account, at any given time, I might not actually have 100K, but it's like a promise that they'll give me 100K back when I need it.
Yeah.
So meaning if I deposit 100K, they might go out and loan out 100K,
mm-hmm.
which really means where's my money when I need it? Like, oh, we'll get it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's these bank requirements, meaning for every dollar that gets deposited, there's an amount that they're required to keep on deposit with the Fed.
Right.
And then the Fed determines how much, what's that ratio? Like, how much does the bank need to make sure it's on deposit?
Yep.
So meaning if they raise that ratio, they're slowing down the money supply.
Right.
If they cut that ratio, they cut that requirement, then the banks can lend even more mm-hmm. based on your 100,000 deposit.
Yep.
So that's the first tool, blunt instrument. What does that have to do with them maintaining high employment? I don't know. Like, it'll help or hurt, right? But it's not direct. Next, they've got the power to select short-term interest rates, the rate at which banks loan money to one another overnight. And that's called the Fed funds rate.
Yep.
Which ends up being like the cost of capital for a bank,
mm-hmm.
right? Because every night a bank has to meet its reserve requirement. And that number changes every day because you're spending money, you're taking withdrawals, you're going to the ATM. So the amount that the bank has to keep on deposit at the Fed, it fluctuates. And so the banks, if they're short, then they go to their homeboy, the bank down the street, and say, hey, I need
or
to home something. Or homegirl, correct.
Home person. We're inclusive.
Home
I'm just
human.
Saying. Homie.
Yeah. They go to the homie like, hey, I need to borrow something. And so the Fed says, well, if they need to borrow overnight to make sure that they're good with the Fed Reserve
mm-hmm.
requirement, here's the interest rate that you need to borrow at.
Yep.
That transaction should take place at, which then becomes the cost of capital for that bank.
Yes.
So right now that rate is 5.3%. Historically, it's not that high, but in recent history, it's certainly pretty high.
Yes, it's gotten higher after being historically low for years.
Their next tool is asset purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by asset purchases, they've been given carte blanche to go out and buy stuff in order to have an impact on interest rates. And the stuff that they typically buy are bonds.
Right.
Like, we had something called QE, quantitative easing,
mm-hmm.
That's when the Fed was going out and buying up bonds. The bonds were really treasury bonds.
Right.
And this is where people that aren't fans of the modern banking system kind of got their panties in a bunch. Or their boxers in a bunch, for that matter. Thongs twisted.
Oh, Lord.
Jock straps askew.
Oh, my. That's your word.
But the issue
you're bringing
is,
in the big word, the little big word.
Yeah,
the little big word.
Yes.
That, there you go. Early on.
But quantitative easing was the idea that the U.S. government is in a deficit and the government's borrowing money by issuing bonds, treasury bonds, to the public. And then on the other hand, you got the Fed, which is also controlled by the government, buying those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're printing money and buying our own money at the same time.
It sounds suspect.
It sounds shady.
It kind of sounds shady. It really does.
Like somebody that's a Bitcoin person is like, I told you it was shady.
Right. Or someone who is not a Bitcoin person and literally has money under the mattress is like, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust them.
Yeah. So they have the ability to make asset purchases. And in recent years, they've bought trillions of dollars to try to boost the financial market by keeping interest rates low.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've artificially made interest rates low with those asset purchases.
Yeah.
And then their final tactic is jawboning.
This is new to me. I mean, seriously. That literally sounds like you're roughing somebody up, punching them in the jaw. What is this?
Jawboning is just talking smack.
I just have not heard of this term.
I know. I'm telling you. Jawboning is them just getting on the mic. Is this thing on? Let me tell you what I'm about to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me tell you what I want to do.
I just haven't heard the term. I'm familiar with the strategy.
It's jawboning.
But yeah.
Like, they can run their mouth because the market really moves on expectation.
Now. Yeah.
And if I tell you that I'm going to do something, then you start to expect that I will and you might act accordingly.
Got it.
Right? So there's someone out there that maybe wanted to take out a loan.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Fed is like, hey, we're going to raise interest rates next week or we're going to raise them in the future, you might rush out. You may rush out to try to get that done in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And so jawboning is really powerful in setting expectations.
It's positioning.
It's them up there talking.
Yeah. Got it.
Watch your mouth.
Watch your
mouth. Rome is in the house. So we're going to keep on talking about All Eyes on Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
But we should go to break and we'll come back and we'll keep it going.
All right.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we are back.
Yes.
I guess technically we are jawboning right now.
I guess that's what we always do. That's what this is.
The Momentum Advisors jawboning session.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about we're not doing that. We're giving you our thoughts and sometimes some tips.
And some corny jokes.
Definitely some corny jokes.
Lots of analogies.
Mm-hmm. Stories.
Possibly excessive analogies at times.
Perhaps.
And there's no one to throw a flag on the play because it's just us.
It's just us.
That's it.
We're just regular people.
And we're breaking down all eyes on Jerome.
Okay.
Because what happened this past week is they came out and made a statement like, you know, things are actually going pretty well. And then the data started to decline. And let's talk about what the Fed said. So the Fed decided to hold interest rates steady in a unanimous decision. When I say unanimous, it means all of the Fed governors were all in agreement.
Yes. And we, as in you and I, we predicted that. We expected that.
For sure. But he did say rates could happen as soon as the next meeting.
We kind of expected that.
Think about
your
parents.
Or maybe, did we? We talked about this. I think early in the year, we were both thinking rates would stay steady. No, we thought a couple of cuts were in order, but then we got to June and then we were like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if any cuts are coming.
They're data dependent. We'll talk about the data that the Fed's been watching this year. Mm-hmm. But the beginning of this year, folks thought there would be as many as 8 interest rate cuts this year.
I never thought that.
Yeah, somebody did.
Yeah.
That was the survey of economists.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it became 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became 0 to 2.
Yeah.
And now the market kind of thinks it's 2.
Okay.
I personally, not speaking for anyone but myself, I think I thought it was going to be 0.
Yep.
And now I'm at a possible. I'm at.
Right.
Yeah.
It's calling like spades hands.
Yeah. It's like spades. And so what did the Fed say this week? What did Jerome have to say? Yeah, he went on to say that they're going to be attentive to risks on both sides of the mandate. Sounds like what Trump said with the tiki torches back in the day. There are good people on both sides.
On both sides of what?
Yeah, that was shady. So when he says both sides, it's the idea that, okay, we're trying to balance a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, we could cut rates, but what about this data point?
We're paying attention to both trays in each hand and the tray that's on top of my head.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And the brick in my pocket that I will throw at somebody's jaw if I need
and
to.
And one knee up in the air.
Yeah. He laid out the groundwork for a September cut, but also left room to say that it's going to be according to the data, right? And that's the thing. It's like, this can't just be a feeling.
Right.
It can't just be, this is what people want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have been wanting interest rates to be cut all year.
Right.
Since last year, people were talking about rate cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, everybody likes cheap money.
Yes.
The stock market likes cheap money.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like cheap money?
Who doesn't like cheap money?
It's like pizza on Fridays. Like, everybody likes pizza on Fridays.
Okay.
And if you vote for me in this election, I promise you, pizza on Fridays.
Okay.
That was my platform when I ran for student government as a kid.
Oh, did you win? You don't remember?
No, I did not. I did not win.
Did you really know how you were going to deliver
on
that?
I was like, I will deliver a Snickers bar in every lunchbox.
Wow.
There will be no homework on Fridays if you vote for me. But Powell went on to say that it's a very difficult judgment call. I agree with him.
Yeah.
Like, because the data, think about the data points that he's watching for. It's inflation. It's the job market. It's the economy. Like, the data, like, if you could only look at the data, you don't listen to what people are saying. You don't look at the stock market. The data wasn't saying cut interest rates.
Correct.
Let's look at those data points.
But the data changes and can change so quickly. I know we'll get into that later. But
yeah, no, every month.
I feel like I say that
more
every
numbers
show.
Came.
We're going to get into that later.
That's
we're
okay.
Probably going to get into that later.
That's it.
And then we do.
And maybe it's a future episode. But okay. We'll do it today.
We'll do it today.
The wait's over. So what are some of the data points?
Mm-hmm.
So number one, inflation. That's a big one. That becomes like the top priority when everything else is going okay.
Sure.
Inflation has been a problem. In 2022, inflation went as high as 9.1%. And this is after, like, 2020, it was 0.6%. Like, inflation is
right.
The idea, it's the thief in the night.
Mm-hmm.
We did a show on that years ago. And it's the idea that the money in my pocket is becoming less and less valuable.
Right.
And that's the rate at which it's becoming less and less valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went from 0.6%. I'm going to give you the numbers every June going back to 2020 because it's the summertime right now. Okay.
You thought I was going to sing again.
I'm waiting.
Not doing it.
So we went from 0.6 in 2020. To 5.4 in 2021. It was funny. I remember when we started to see these high numbers in 2021, I thought that it was a typo. I was like,
right.
There's no way we're at 5%. Like,
yeah.
It really didn't hit me that it's actually happening.
The other thing that was happening at that time, though, when we were starting to open up again after COVID.
Yeah.
And so people had a record amount of savings.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably didn't feel it because you might have had some extra money laying around. So it's like, okay, everything costs more, but I'm still net zero.
Yeah. Yeah, but also like what was happening at that time, like they asked Powell, like, mm-hmm. what do you think of this inflation? He said, oh, this is nothing. It's transitory. This is just a little thing.
Right.
It's a big thing. It's like it got bigger and bigger because it went
became
from
a thing.
It went from 5.4 in June of 2021 to 9.1 in June of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is the Fed started to raise interest rates to fight inflation, but by the time they got started, it was kind of late.
Yeah.
Because they didn't think it was going to keep on persisting. They mm-hmm. thought this was like a one time, oh, that's just a blip. That's nothing. And then it almost doubled.
Yeah. But think about some of the things that contributed to that. The supply chain was an issue. So even goods and things like that weren't flowing the way they should. We talked about money supply and controlling the flow of traffic. Well, there's some things we can't control or they can't control. And so literally stuff that we spend money on wasn't getting here.
But at the same time, isn't their job to look at the data?
Their job is to look at the data.
It reminds me of like my son. So I just finished having 2 days in the office with my son.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't in the office at the time, but
I was not. I was not included.
Yeah. It was funny. We had like bring your sons to work day
I know.
This past week.
Yeah.
Because we had two people bring their sons in. And I guess your son is off in the college world. He's big time in you right now. He ain't trying to come to office.
He in LA. He finished his little summer internship and he's like, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
that trip, that flight to LA, I was supposed to pay you back for. I'm sorry, that's not the show for this, but I'm like, I paid for you. I haven't seen my money, man.
Yeah.
Like, where's my money?
So you might have to jawbone him later.
I might have to jawbone him later. Yes. Anyway.
So just real quick on my son. So my son,
mm-hmm.
he's taking a class this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the class isn't going well.
Mm.
Like, literally has no... My son is going into the 10th grade. He doesn't have a job. Literally, his job is to take this class this
mm-hmm.
summer.
Okay.
And he comes to me and his mom and says, hey, this class ain't going well. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it.
Hmm.
I'm like...
That's not an option, bro.
Yeah, it really isn't an option. And then he goes to explain all the reasons why. And it sounds like, well, womp womp. Because the first thing he said is all I heard is that I'm not going to be able to finish it.
Right.
So I brought him in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him a great set of pep talks. And now he's rolling again. So I'm going back to the Fed. Like, the Fed needs to look at the data to make the decision, not the words.
Right.
The words is, oh, you understand, there's a supply chain disruption. And then it's like my son complaining about stuff. Like,
well, why'd you do it in the whiny voice,
because
though?
That's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
And then it's funny, going back to my son, my son's like, yeah, I don't like the way you say that I'm just quitting. That I'm like, all right, what if I said you are accepting defeat? Does that make you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
What if I said you are walking into failure? Does that make you feel? I'm like, oh, no matter how I say it, doesn't it make you feel bad? Because the thing is the thing.
Yeah.
And so going back to the Fed, we had inflation rising at a crazy pace, and the Fed was a little slow to react because they're looking at the words and not the numbers. And so where are we now? So go back to June of 2023. Inflation went from that high of 9%.
Yeah.
All the way down to 3.0%.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, folks started saying inflation's under control.
Mm.
We now want the Fed to start cutting rates again.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened after the 3? After the 3 came 3.2, 3.7. Now they're like, oh, is this a double-headed inflation problem?
Yeah.
And so they couldn't cut interest rates
mm-hmm.
back then. And so now I think about where the Fed is now on inflation. June of 2024. They're back at 3%.
Yeah.
So what would you do if all you had to do was look at inflation and a year ago we got to 3 and you thought it was going to 2, but it went to 3.7? What would you do right now if you're back at 3?
Yeah.
Tough spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tough spot.
Yep.
So that's inflation. The next thing they've got to do is watch the job market. Now, our job market is interesting because we talked about the fact that unemployment's been under 5%, which for a long time was the Fed's target.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped it to 4.
Yep.
So going into this Fed meeting that they had, unemployment was at 4.1.
Yeah.
In June, the economy added 206,000 jobs. Like, those are actually really solid numbers.
It's growth. It's slower growth. I think we talked about that before, but it's still growth.
Mm-hmm. Now we go to GDP growth, which is another mandate of the Fed, is to keep the economy moving, not too fast, not too slow. And for a modern economy like the U.S., GDP growth of 2 to 3% is a good number. Like, that's solid.
Yeah.
GDP's at 2.8.
Yeah.
So I got GDP at 2.8. I got inflation at 3. I got unemployment at 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you want me to do?
What you want me to do? What am I supposed to do?
That's the situation that the Fed found itself in.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not disappointed the Fed hasn't cut. Because when the Fed starts cutting, they're acknowledging that, yo, there's a problem growing.
Yeah. And the thing about data is it's historical. So you can only make a decision based on what has already happened.
That's exactly right.
There could be some indicators, but data is not forward-looking.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. There's lagging and leading indicators.
Mm-hmm.
GDP, lagging. Payroll numbers, lagging.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the data that we are talking about is what happened already.
Yes.
Now, some things are what will happen in the future, but that's not what the Fed's necessarily looking at. It's their main mandate.
Right.
Like, data points that are leading would be things like consumer sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do I think is going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah.
Jobless claims is kind of leading because I might be right now applying for unemployment for the next for the next 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm acknowledging that I won't have a job over these next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a leading number.
Yeah.
And then other things like PMI, which is the Purchasing Manager Index, like that's a leading indicator because that's you asking all the people that buy stuff, are you planning to buy stuff or
right.
not?
Yeah.
Right? So there are some that are leading, some that are lagging, and a lot of these data points are lagging. So then what happened after he spoke? We had some more job numbers that came out. Remember, Wednesday they met.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, some job numbers came out.
New data. So with the jobs numbers, employers added only 114,000 jobs in July.
The expectation was 236,000.
Right. So not as many as they thought.
The month before was 206,000.
Right. The data literally changed the day after the meeting.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
And again, it's almost like, did we talk about this? Where I felt like I couldn't be sick. I couldn't stay home from school because bad things happen.
You did say that.
The markets move when I'm off.
Yeah.
Or when I'm not accessible. I'm on a plane. Mm-hmm. I'm on vacation. I'm attending a conference.
You know what's so crazy?
Friday
about that?
Morning, I was just like,
yo,
the NASDAQ dropped 3%. It's only 10:30. Like,
yeah.
What's going
you know what's
on?
So crazy?
I got to go back to work.
On Thursday this week,
uh-huh.
I wore a red shirt. And I said to my wife, I should not be wearing this red shirt to the office. It's bad luck. She's like, take it off. Please take it off. I'm like, nope, I'm wearing it.
Because it means
to the office,
nothing. It's
and
just
the jobs number comes out 2 days in a row. The market's been getting clobbered. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have worn that red shirt.
It's the double whammy. See, we should have spoken.
Yeah.
Your red shirt and me being off.
Yeah, I should have known.
That's why that's why we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah.
It's because of us. It's
mm-hmm.
our fault.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm throwing that red shirt
it.
Out. I should have never bought that red shirt.
There's nothing wrong with red shirts.
Yo, we were so superstitious on Wall Street. We wouldn't even have a red pen in the office.
Yeah.
You couldn't wear a red tie. Like, if
That's
somebody,
funny.
Yeah, like there was no red anywhere. We wore blue suits, white shirts, blue
mm-hmm.
tie, gray suit. Like, that's what Wall
yeah.
Street, because superstition.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Look
yeah.
at that.
I apologize.
I guess we carry some of that. Me too.
It's my bad.
Sorry.
Andre, you need to be here. And
we
by the way,
coordinated.
One of your clients came by while you weren't here.
That was bananas.
And it's a good thing we had met before.
Yes.
Because you know what's so funny? Our office is across the hallway from a doctor's office, and people are constantly coming into our office asking about the doctor. We're like, look, bro, we ain't got you. And this time she comes in, and I was ready to be like, lady, close our door.
Right.
This ain't the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come in. How you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Have a seat. Welcome.
Yeah. When my phone rings and I'm on vacation and it's 8:30 in the morning, I'm
yeah.
like, what happened? Like,
yeah.
why is Alan calling me mm-hmm. at 8:30 in the morning?
But, I'm glad you answered.
Oh, yeah.
You
I was,
sent me a voicemail. Oh,
even though I was
that.
Off, I was having breakfast in the hotel lobby, trying to take care of some things before we started our day with the family. And I was like, yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
But in fairness, she's an older client.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her
80s. Yeah.
And something was going on where she wasn't receiving my follow-up calls.
Yeah.
We were just missing each other.
Yeah, she had somehow deleted your current number, had an old number. She's been calling you at this old number. Every time you call or text or email her, she then calls you at the wrong number. So
yeah, it was unbelievable, but it's all good.
I also love that folks could just roll up on us like that. Like, hey.
She is the one. She is the one. We meet in person all the time. So it's all good. We're good now.
That was sweet. So shoe drops are starting to drop. Like, this ain't really like horrible numbers. Like, the jobs number could have been worse. Like, it could have been that we lost jobs.
Right.
Right. We're gaining jobs, but at a slower pace.
Yes.
Slower than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then the next thing is that unemployment rose from 4.1 to 4.3.
Yeah.
Now, by itself.
Yep.
Not that big of a deal.
Nope.
But if you look at history and the fact that we were at 3.4,
mm-hmm.
3.4 to 4.3.
That's more than 0.5%.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it started to trigger this thing called the SAM rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about this in our group text.
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was like, what are they talking about?
The financial information is the Momentum Advisors group text.
Yeah. Sometimes it is. No, it really is. I was like, what are they talking about? Is this real business stuff or are they just clowning?
So there is a former Fed Reserve chairman mm-hmm. named Claudia Sam. And Sam is spelled S-A-H-M.
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia came up with a really nifty way to know if the economy is heading towards recession.
Mm-hmm.
And her indicator, there's a lot of different indicators for recessions, by the way. There's the yield curve, mm-hmm. which is a chart of all the interest rates from 3 months out to 30 years, right? And if it's inverted, then that's a recession indicator.
Mm-hmm.
There's the SAM rule. There's a bunch of other ones, but let me break down the SAM rule because this is one that is really pretty accurate. The SAM rule speaks to the three-month moving average of unemployment. And if it goes up by more than 0.5 inside of 12 months, then generally what it's saying is that we're in the early stages of a recession.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1950, if you did a back test going all the way back to 1950, there have only been two false positives. So I mean, this rule has actually predicted 13 out of the last 11 recessions, right? So 13 out of 11 means it's been overly accurate. Like, sometimes it goes off and you don't get a recession, but mm-hmm. most of the time you kind of do.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive results.
That's a good little rule.
Yeah.
And so now when I think about the Fed, okay, now I'm starting to get some real data that backs up what y'all want. The free pizza on Friday, the interest rate cut.
Right after we had a meeting.
Because I can't do it until I see the numbers.
Right, yeah.
Like, show me the numbers.
Show me the numbers.
Don't talk to me about, oh, but you got to understand it's different this time.
Stop whining.
Don't talk to me about that. Like, everybody wants cheap money.
Right.
We've been wanting cheap money for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. A year ago, we wanted cheap money. Imagine if the Fed had cut rates a year ago.
We always want cheap money.
And then inflation kept rising.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't move too quickly.
Yeah.
All eyes are on the Fed.
Romy Rome.
All eyes on Jerome.
What you going
to
do?
So we're going to go to break. And when we get back, we're going to wrap this thing up with a bow.
All right.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Momentum.
And we're back.
Yup.
Still jawboning.
Still talking.
Still breaking down facts with extra analogies.
We're being a little extra with analogies, but
side conversations and inside jokes that y'all are a part of.
We do this all the time.
Weaving in stories that have nothing to do with the content, but somehow we make it relevant.
Loosely adjacent.
Loosely adjacent. If we could rename the podcast.
Loosely adjacent.
Yes. That's the name. I think that would be a good name.
Maybe we start with a segment called Loosely Adjacent.
Yeah.
And just bring up something that otherwise is seemingly random.
Yeah.
But tie it into something we're talking about.
Yeah. Also, I mean, at least for me, I can't speak for you. I consider myself hood adjacent.
Okay. Like,
I grew up in the suburbs, but I really understand the hood as well.
I could operate.
Yeah.
In the hood and be okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go so far as to say hood adjacent, though.
I'm saying, you say you'd be okay. I think you could bring Andrea to, you know, the corner or the boardroom, and I think she'd be okay.
I could. I'm growing out of that.
Your hood adjacency level is high enough?
It's high enough. There was a point where it was pretty high. Like, to the point where my husband was like, who are you? The lyrics that I know.
Yeah.
That can be called up to memory at any point in time is kind of scary to him, I think.
Speaking of lyrics, I think it's hilarious and great at the same time that Snoop was carrying a torch at the Olympics.
He's all in. Snoop and Flavor Flav. I'm like what?
The same Snoop that dropped Doggy Style, which is like one of my favorite from childhood.
Mm.
But the lyrics, the album,
Gosh. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know what
that album
you're talking
like,
about.
That album was like crazy good.
It's culture.
It is not PC for carrying the torch at the Olympics. That's all I'm saying.
It is crazy to me though.
Yeah. But that's progress.
You know, aligned himself with Martha Stewart. He was exposed to a whole new audience. Yeah.
And I'm proud. I'm proud to see that.
You proud to see that?
To see the mainstream impact of Black culture is being acknowledged.
Sure.
That's what I'm proud
of. Yeah. Hip hop has grown up too. Yeah.
So we're talking about the Fed. We're talking about All Eyes on Jerome. We're really basically explaining why they haven't cut rates yet. Because there's some people, like I was on TV this past week.
Of course you were.
And whatever.
I was
on. I don't really tell people all the time. I tell folks if I'm on certain channels, but not on others. Because
what channel are you on then?
I won't say.
Okay.
But this particular anchor asked me, don't you think it's ridiculous that the Fed hasn't cut rates yet?
Fox News.
Sure. And I'm like, nah, it's not.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Yep.
If I present you with these exact numbers,
mm-hmm.
the fact that we got to 3% on inflation already and then it went the other way, the Fed really has to play a wait and see.
Yeah.
I would argue that the case has not been made strongly enough yet
mm-hmm.
for the Fed to cut rates yet.
For sure. I mean, we can all play Monday morning quarterback, but the quarterback can only make decisions based on the data that's behind him.
That's right.
Yes, there's momentum. No pun intended. And there's things that happen within the game that requires you to make adjustments. But at the end of the day, you go with what you know.
Yeah. So what's happened since the Fed meeting? The stock market has been very, very unhappy with these numbers.
Yeah.
Because the stock market is like, I would just describe it as like, if you gave a 3-year-old a Coca-Cola.
Here we go.
Right? If you gave a 3-year-old a Coca-Cola, a lollipop, and spun them around, right? And then ask them some questions. What you get next is going to be crazy. The stock market it's crazy.
It is. But what's funny about this, I'm sorry, this is personal. Sometimes when you start with your analogies, I know exactly where you're going.
And sometimes you have no
idea.
And
other times I'm like,
and those are the ones I'm going for.
I have no idea where you're going.
Yeah, those are the ones. People say that the stock market is also a leading indicator because it's based on what people expect to happen in the future. And
rates up, stock prices down. That's typical.
And if you think the stock market can predict recessions, we talked about the SAM rule.
Yeah.
The stock market has predicted 36 of the last 11 recessions because it's always predicting a recession. It's always declining overly when it thinks something bad has happened, even when something bad's not actually happening.
Wait. I need you to say that again because you just said, 36. I thought I heard was that the stock market predicted 36 of the last 11.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's overly predicting. It's
Got
saying
it.
There's a recession when there's not.
Right.
Three times.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I heard it right.
Yeah, it says that there's a recession coming three times in a row, and only one of those times it actually was a recession.
I'm with you. I follow.
Just like the Sam rule's not always right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's been right.
Yeah.
In this case, the stock market is hardly ever right.
Yeah. I mean,
as a leading indicator of recession.
We've been talking about recessions in general, more broadly than just the stock market being an indicator.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, 3 years now?
That we've been talking about a recession's coming.
In general.
Yeah.
American society.
Yeah.
I can think of two or three occasions at least where I've been invited to talk to a group, an organization, an online platform about how to prepare for a recession.
Yeah.
Dating back to 2021.
Yeah.
At least two or three times, maybe more. Or questions from clients like, we think a recession is coming, so what should we do?
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing is you need to have a strategy in place well in advance of the recession coming.
Exactly.
Like, you can't wait for the storm to come.
Right.
And now let's go out and reinforce the home.
It's too late. The storm is 10 miles away.
Like, you should have put your lawn furniture up already.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Don't be out there in the middle of a tornado talking about, let me get this launch, this umbrella, and put it down.
Yeah, it's too late. But since we're on the weather analogy, the thing about different storms is that they are different.
Yeah.
Hurricanes, you know when something's brewing in the tropics.
Yeah.
So you have enough time to go out and get sandbags, board up your windows. There's time. Tornado? Eh.
Yeah.
You can't really prepare for that. It comes when it comes.
This is true.
As I look out the window and see it getting really dark,
I'm gonna
really
play
fast.
Devil's advocate. I've never been in a tornado. I've been in a lot of hurricanes.
Uh-huh.
But if you live in a certain part of the country, you're in tornado town. Like, you know that tornadoes come.
Been there.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're building a building, a high rise, like, it needs to have certain wind mitigation things.
For sure.
From the gate,
yeah,
is all I'm
from
saying.
The foundation. Yes.
So for example, like, you don't prepare for the recession by selling stocks in the midst of the decline in the stock market.
Right.
So right now, we're in a correction in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is kind of the tech industry.
We're officially
industry.
In correction territory?
We're in 10% decline in the NASDAQ.
Mm.
And if you've got a lot of NASDAQ stocks, a lot of tech stocks, the big NVIDIAs and Apples and Microsofts, and now that it's down, now you decide that you had too much of it?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, oh, yeah.
Horrible planning on your part.
Yeah.
The time to sell stuff is when it's up, really.
Right.
The time to make sure you've got the right asset allocation or mix of stocks and bonds is when things are cool.
Buy low, sell high. That's the fundamental basics of investing. But our emotions get the best of us. And so, it's going to be interesting. What I'm interested in seeing is, right, so we do these quarterly investment performance reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm focused on doing or implementing the resulting action from what I see in the review versus communicating with the client on what we're going to do and why. And so if I went through all of my clients and wrote down and had meetings about all the things we were going to do, and then I waited to have a meeting, I most likely should have already done what I said we were going to do. Yeah. And so that's a decision. That's a business decision we make every single day, which is, I know it's important to touch base and communicate with people. That's a fundamental part of our roles. It's about relationships. But sometimes I'm trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And if I wait until we're both available to have a conversation at the same time, the opportunity is missed.
And you're bringing up a great point.
Yeah.
Like, how do you prepare? Have a meeting with your financial advisor on a regular basis.
On a regular
basis. There's so many clients that we send reports to once a quarter. We invite them to talk to us once a quarter. And we hear from them once a year when they reach out.
Yep.
It's a great time to level set.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm worried that we might get a recession coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
How am I positioned? Am I ready for that?
Yeah.
Like, let's revisit my retirement projection.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at, you know, we had a call this week with a woman who's single with no kids and she's approaching 60. And we're now talking about, okay, what kind of life do you expect later on? Like, what's your health like? Do you think you'll be needing a nursing home or assisted living type of thing? And let's talk about it now before, because you don't want to wait until the market hits rock bottom.
Right.
And I'll tell you, as an advisor, what I was thinking about on Thursday and Friday And I'm sure what Andrea would have been thinking about had she been at work.
Don't do that. Joking. Don't do that.
No, I was thinking about which clients have sent in money that maybe have not gotten invested yet.
Absolutely.
Because when markets are going down, that's the time to buy.
Absolutely.
It never feels like it.
Yeah.
But that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, for sure. So what I can say is that we've already talked about goals, objectives, risk tolerance. So we're going to do what we said we were going to do, but it might be a better time to do it now than if we had before I went on vacation.
Yeah. But I did look at everybody's accounts, and you don't have a lot of accounts with uninvested cash.
I don't, unless it just came in within the last like week.
Yeah, and that's the thing that folks don't really understand. Like I was reading articles about folks that are still complaining about the 2008 financial crisis.
Oh, wow.
And I say that because that ruined them.
Mm.
But in reality, the market bounced back. Like the market's significantly higher than that.
Right.
If it ruins you, it's because you did the wrong things at that time.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I feel like I'm being defensive, but when I saw what was happening in the markets, because I am plugged in, even if I'm not working, and I make sure people understand that, like there is someone available to help you.
Absolutely.
And there's certain things that I still got to do it, right? We have the ability to put trades on the books and they will go at the next day's open. So if it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm done, you know, with my family, gallivanting, with my family, doing all the things, then I can still say, hey, you know what? Tomorrow morning at the market open, make sure these five things happen. Yeah. So we're not completely out of it, but I can look at the overall markets and say, I think, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday or one day this week, the Dow was down. I don't remember, but the number was like,
And then 900 points.
But it was still up over 40,000.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh yeah, we invested this money when it was at 38 or when the S&P was this. So it's down significantly today, but you're still up over where you were when we got started. Yeah. So I don't have to panic about those situations.
Yeah, the market's been way up. So that's the other thing. It's like when it goes down a little, you were probably playing with house money at that point. I mean, you're already ahead and you lost a little bit of your lead.
Right. And a 500-point decline in the, I know we don't talk about the Dow that much anymore, but a 500-point decline in the Dow is different when the Dow's at 30,000 than when it's at 40.
That's a fact.
Or way back in the day.
I remember it was under 10,000.
I remember when it crossed 10. I think I had still had the newspaper, the front page article from the Journal when we crossed 10,000.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like that long ago. Yeah. But we got to get back to the stuff we're supposed to be
all
talking
good,
about.
All good. You know, at the end of church, they read the announcements and tell you to mark your calendar and be attuned to these dates. How do they say it in your
church? Govern yourselves accordingly.
Yes! Govern yourselves accordingly.
Absolutely. To the point where I wish they would sometimes save those announcements to the end of service. I'm like, we doing all these announcements. You done interrupted the spirit.
We need you to govern yourselves accordingly.
Govern yourselves accordingly.
The funny thing about that phrase is like, what other setting would you say govern yourselves accordingly? Right. Like, Andrea's here. Govern yourselves accordingly.
It's like, this is what's happening. Do what you're supposed to do all the time.
So I want to read off a couple of dates as we wrap up the show to give you a timeline of what data points are coming out and what the Fed's going to be looking at.
Yep.
We got August 14th. That is the next inflation report. We have August 29th is the next GDP report.
Okay.
We've got the first Friday in September. Ironically, right around Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
we're going to get a labor report.
Too funny.
We've got Jackson Hole, which is a chance for jawboning. That's an economic policy symposium. That's August 24th and 26th.
They invited you as a speaker yet?
Absolutely not.
Not yet.
But like that's a, so you're going to hear from the Fed in late August after they've had a chance to review this labor number and the next inflation number. And they're not really meeting again until September 17th.
Yeah.
And that's when the market's expecting we may get our first rate cut.
Yeah.
But the number that I'm looking for the most, right, because we already know that the labor market is actually disappointing now.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can check that box off as, we got to do better there.
Yeah.
But really, this next inflation number is the big one.
Yeah.
If we get a 3+ number, I don't know that Jerome can really cut rates right now. Like, I really don't know that he can. If we get a 2 handle,
yep,
we get a rate cut.
Yeah.
And I'll bet everybody that's a listener, $1 bill on that.
Okay. That could be a lot of money. Didn't you just say our listening numbers are up?
All right.
Be careful.
If you want that bet.
I'm just saying.
All right. That's what
you may want to cut back on that job on it, bro.
Fine. Fine. That. Fine.
I'm just saying.
No new taxes. And pizza on Friday.
Oh, man.
And no homework. Mm. That's my platform I'm running on.
For Momentum? Pizza on Friday?
The president. Yeah. Oh. As the president of the Student Government Association. So that's our show today. All eyes are on Jerome.
Yeah.
All eyes really are on this next inflation print, if you ask me.
Yep.
And we'll see.
We will see.
So we want you to govern yourselves accordingly. And if you need a checkup, reach out to us, momentum-advisors.com. We'll spend time with anybody to talk about your financial picture.
Yeah.
And if you've got some investments, we'll also look at those with you and give you some advice and feedback.
Second opinion.
And then you govern yourselves accordingly after that.
Do your thing.
Keep listening. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.